Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week to make you say a thing as the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Good morning, everyone.
Is my Zoom late, or did Patty jump the gun on that one?
He went quick.
He went ready. Real fast.
I was trying to time it the way that it, the way that it would normally kind of go, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's a lose-lose. anything but a robotically perfectly timed intro will now be
will out. Be discussed, will be right. Commented
yeah.
on.
It's nice.
I'm sorry to make you feel self-conscious.
It's a nice position I put myself in over the years.
We've done it. Yeah.
I'm especially sorry to make you feel self-conscious. We're done.
Bye-bye.
But I especially feel bad because I feel like while the theme song was playing today, I kind of got a little stage fright. I was like,
you freaked out.
I had a little bit of oh man, a lot of people listen to our podcast. I feel like I don't think about that very much.
Not enough, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I thought you meant I don't think about that enough because don't do a good job.
Not enough listeners.
Well, are you saying you don't think about our listeners? Kat's in the Mad Men elevator. She's just...
All our listeners are in the Mad Men elevator with me, yelling at me.
Feel bad for us for some reason.
Yeah. In a big freight elevator. In the freight elevator at the gutter after our show. Telling us they feel bad for us.
That's the main emotion we inspire in our listeners is pity. They feel very bad for us.
Well, we may inspire pity because we have a new goddamn Patreon goal for you. Fucking
you animals,
goblins,
swine.
That's right.
Due to untoward pressure from the listener base, we are now pledging to eat the cursed Papa Bowl at 1,300 patrons.
We're gonna do it. You asked for it for some reason, so. Yeah. We'll do it. We'll
film
it. We
know the reason.
We're done with covering stories that would be bad for us to do.
The reason is contempt. We know the reason.
Yeah.
This is why we don't do any stories where anyone dies, because we don't want our listeners to be like, hey, at 1,400 patrons, you should kill yourself.
At 1,400 patrons, you should be attacked by a bear.
You should go to Russia and hang off of one of those huge towers. Take a selfie video of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool new Instagram account. Look at this Russian. I think
that's
pretty
a good
popular.
One. I enjoy that one.
Though the guy seems to just be getting really horny on there because lately he's just been promoting fitness models on the Russian account, and all the comments are like, "What is this? Why?"
That's a Russian.
It's a Russian.
I don't think they're Russian.
Oh.
I think they all live in L.A. Honestly,
I follow a Russian a sexy Russian lady Instagram account because her body is so mind boggling to me.
Follow those too. Intellectual curiosity.
Well, there's the ones that are sexy and are like they've had some stuff done, but it's in the service of sexiness. And then there are some that have had so much stuff done it I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't understand the male lizard brain, but it's this is uncanny. This is no longer has much similarity to a secondary sex characteristic. This is a freak show now.
I think it's just the amount of people you can see because of the internet, and it's to me it's aged. That's aged because I can probably tell you that it's a similar sentiment even among lizard brains.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's it feels to me when people used to post the pictures of those guys who got the Ken doll surgery and stuff.
Yeah.
And for
a
while
it's
you're
that.
For a while, you're like, ha, that's what, and then you just later realize it's like, oh, you have severe body dysmorphia or something.
Absolutely.
This looks.
It's very dark.
Good to you. I mean, I think it's just a incremental thing. And then all of a sudden, but yeah. There's definitely, let's see. But yeah, I'm sometimes that account, and I'm certainly not one to complain about a sexy lady on my phone, but at the same time I'm like, I'm here to watch guys dangle off cranes and do dances and
there are too many sexy ladies on my phone. Please correct this.
It's so funny how many of those model accounts there are, and every single one of them has at least 1 million followers. Like, I don't know how that's possible. Like, it just seems like insane. And also, someone that we all know follows all of them, in my experience.
It's not me. Seen.
It's not you.
Yeah. That
just
is
to say.
It's Shelby.
It's Shelby.
That is what's like kind of crazy to me about it, because it's like that. I get it to some extent, but how horny do you have to be to follow more than like 50 of those? Like, to need to see
every time you open your phone, 3, you need a new one. You need to see a new picture of that. Yeah. Yes, it's,
that is like a level of insatiability that I just like cannot fathom.
It's like an ambient horniness. Like,
yeah,
you just need to be like 22. That's really what I think. I've called it as this is not the same. But I also think it's almost an economic experiment. I was like, what is the demand for when the demand is literally unending? How high can the supply go?
Mm, yeah, that's a good point.
You hit it. Also hit a certain age, and you're like, what am I going to do about this? Like, if this person walked into the room right now, I'd be like, how you doing? All right. See you later. Like, that, it would not be, there's no, like, we're not pretending anymore, you know?
Yeah. Well, that is like what is the idea that demand is unending is like what is so interesting about it. Cause it's like, half the internet is women who look like that. And yet, like, people are still like creeps to me on the internet. You know what I mean? Where it's like, there are people who are out there specifically courting this kind of attention. So, like, why? Why is like this what you're bothering? You know what I mean? Like, I don't really understand it, but I don't know.
I think with a lot of those like model, like I think the reaction that most people would have, like other than like the guys who will hit on anyone who are like fascinating guys, like, you know,
oh
like,
yeah,
like,
people just purely playing the numbers game,
just like the
incredible.
Repulsive pig man who's like, hey, it's like, come on, dude, who are we kidding here? But like most, I feel like most men would have a fear response. It's like heart rate up, like, get out of here, don't make eye contact, like, you know.
Now I got to deal with this.
Right, exactly.
I think that's something like when I'm out now, like. I've changed where, like, when you're, you know, when you're younger and stuff, you're like, and it is true. It's like, oh, you go to a bar to like meet people to like men or women or whatever. Like, sure. You go to a bar, and then now it's like such a huge bummer just to see somebody hitting on somebody else at a bar. I'm just like, I am trying to fucking hang out. Like, please. Like,
why must you introduce this to my hanging out? Yeah.
We're trying to talk about, I just started rewatching Damages. Okay. We're trying to talk about that. We're not trying to.
Trying to chat about Damages.
I have a whole joke about that that I do sometimes, about how like right after the pandemic I got hit on at a bar and I was with a bunch of friends who were all men. I have a joke about how most of my friends are men, and then it leads into this talking about getting hit on at a bar where I was with a bunch of guy friends, and I was really drunk, and I just the way I explained to the guy, because he was perfectly nice, I just like wasn't in that like headspace. I said, right now in this space, I am not a woman. That's what I said to him. So.
I remember that story. For me, it's not like nobody's hitting on me. I'm just like, it'll be like me in a different conversation and just watch someone like sidle up to the bar in that very specific way. And it just bums me out.
It just, like, and yeah, just being like, in its presence bums you out.
Yeah. It's, I like the quiet times now. Get it out. I don't want anybody doing anything at the bar. Everyone should just be having the same
Everyone
sad
should be talking about Damages.
Start,
no one should be getting laid here.
Damages only. Damages night down at the local drinking hole. The opposite of ladies night. Come here and discuss the Glenn Close television show Damages.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not actually rewatching Damages. I was just picking the most random show I could think of. So just to be clear.
Well, now
I have watched all of Damages, just not recently.
Best episode.
Eli sidling up to someone at the bar and asking it how much Criminal Minds they've seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm wearing my shirt, they ask me. Wear my Aaron Hotchner shirt. I don't even have to bring it up. The shirt does it for me.
People
know. Conversation starter. Yeah. Ready to go. Well, I'm saying, check it out. Give it a try. I'm not going to, further proselytize Criminal Minds, but don't knock it before you
there was
watch
a criminal,
15
there was,
seasons of it.
There was a Criminal Minds sort of reference on Only Murders in the Building in the finale, I believe. And it was like just like a Steve Martin or Martin Short was like, someone should make a show about this, about the criminal mind or something like that.
Good bit.
That show, I watched the beginning of it and I really liked it. And then once they actually started trying to solve the mystery, I lost interest, which I feel like is not... I just wanted it to be fun jokes in a cool old hotel. Mm-hmm. And then there was a mystery and I was like, I don't care about this.
It's good. It's a good show. I recommend it.
I found that my interest in TV shows is often the thing other people like the least about the show. That's like, that was like the Queen's Gambit. I was like, I was watching it, but then they started having all this like, there was something going on with her and the chess people and her... that
you just wanted some good chess games.
Yeah, I was just like, I just want them to play chess. Do nothing else.
I'm hoping that season three, the killer is Jiminy Glick. I hope that we get Martin Short playing. And we just
Jiminy Glick should be in... He would live in that building, I feel
We're
like.
Bringing back Jiminy Glick. More and more people are saying it. I'm seeing more... there's more Jiminy Glick on the timeline than there's ever been.
I agree with that. But I think that there is like a Jiminy Glick resurgence happening. I think people are rediscovering Jiminy Glick, which is a really positive thing.
I like the resurgence, I feel like, of like clips of Looney Tunes that people are tweeting out and just being like, Bugs Bunny really was wildin'. Like that's my timeless. Favorite content now. Yeah.
Timeless.
Yeah. Has anyone, after we discussed the horrible wigs, has anyone, Patty, have you watched the new Game of Thrones? Is it as bad as we...
Oh, it was fine. I don't know.
Wig-wise.
I've definitely seen some pictures that are... Who's the guy that was like Doctor Who at one point?
Yeah, he's fucking insane. He's tough to look at. but like,
people were being so mean to him on the internet. But just also, like, not even about how he looked on that show, just about how he looks.
Well,
and
it's
I was
also like
calm down, guys.
He knows how to use that he looks kind of weird, I think. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's either weird or handsome, depending on what your particular taste is. But like, he knows how to use that, and he plays like a very bad guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's where we're headed.
I mean,
so
you can
like,
tell by his eyebrows that he's a bad guy.
Not all the Targaryens, you know, in the show, because this is not like, this is kind of before like the big sort, you know.
Patty defending
like,
the Targaryens.
That's right.
There's some really nice Targaryens, guys.
And, some of them are cool.
Some of them are cool. That's all I'm saying. But I don't know. I'll keep watching it. I'll keep drinking that garbage.
Exactly.
And like, there's some guy, I don't know who he is, going on. Like, I didn't watch the episode, but this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know who'd be a great character on Game of Thrones? Donald Trump. It's like, all right, this is like a way overheated take from, you know, 10 years ago. We don't need this.
We don't need to compare every single fictional character to the big man.
Like, you don't have to watch it. It's or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's clearly not going to be culturally mandatory the way, you know, because like, we don't really have those things anymore. It seems like even in the past like few years, that seems to have gone away.
It's
so
my birthday,
watch it or
and all
don't.
My favorite characters are here. All of the Targaryens and Donald Trump.
That's right.
Wow. Game Master Anthony has returned.
He's back. You know, it's I say do what you want. I'm not a big wig knower, so I don't know. Whitney's a big wig knower.
I mean, you don't need to be a big wig knower to know those wigs.
She has like strong opinions on if the wig is bad or not, like immediately. I'm just kind of like, I guess it's a wig. Yeah,
I'm so glad to know this about Whitney, because I feel like this is the female version of talking about how you just started watching Damages again at a bar. Is like, next time I see Whitney, I'm going to be like, let's talk wigs.
Yeah. Worst wigs on television.
Yeah. Tell me your wig opinions, because I need to know.
So it's just a terrible wig. And I'm like, I guess.
There's Trixie and Katya, they're drag queens. They have a bunch of like YouTube shows and stuff. They're great, but they do one where they watch Netflix stuff, like for Netflix. It's like queens who like to watch or something, and they like make fun of Netflix streaming stuff. Uh-huh. And my favorite part is like, in most Netflix things, there is a part where they are watching it where one of them just goes, wig, wig, wig. And the other one's like, wig.
It's like hat.
Yeah, it is like hat.
Yeah.
But just drag queens love to talk about bad wigs because that's such a big part of their art form.
Let's bring back the toupee. Bring that back.
I get a lot of toupee content on TikTok. It's very interesting. They're out there.
To you now.
Yeah.
They like glue it onto your head.
They glue it to you, and then they give the toupee like a trendy undercut.
Yeah.
It's really wild.
Yeah. What
if you just showed up one day with one of those?
Yeah.
Just full.
Good bit.
Full head of hair.
Very good bit.
I have a photo that's on my phone because I saw it on like Instagram or something, and I was like, I have to save this because it was so unsettling. But then I didn't even know who to send it to, because like anyone I sent it to, it like it would take too much explanation. But somehow I got served this video of like a small child getting the like TikTok cut. So it was just like this little toddler that got his hair like styled into this crazy
the like long
undercut
on the top, and yeah.
And then they had the like, you know, the like he was like posing, and there was like a 360 video, and I was just like, this is just, I don't know, but it needs to be saved. It needs to be. I need evidence that I saw this. It was more like that.
Yeah.
You were just like, can I want to be able to check my phone tomorrow and make sure that I actually saw this, you know?
They should do that with the monkey getting a haircut. They should give him a TikTok cut.
Yeah.
That little tiny monkey head with the barbershop. Like,
the monkey that got like the fade and stuff. Yeah, that was
yeah.
Yeah. Giving the monkey a fade. Great content. And then for a while, sometimes you get those videos of guys just cutting hair with like a sword, and then they finish and you're like, yeah, it looks like you cut someone's hair with a sword. It's really bad. Just a medieval bowl cut.
Looks like he just missed.
Videos of medieval peasants getting bowl cuts and then getting the like 360 of them just in a burlap shirt and just the classic the classic haircut of someone who's toiling in the fields.
Yeah. Aerodynamically designed for toil.
Yeah. Just soak up all that surf sweat, you know, and not get it on the king's crops. You don't want to taint the king's crops with your poor sweat.
Should we do numbers?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Number five.
Number five comes to us from our Discord, where you can join and submit stories if you give us $10 a month on Patreon. This one is from Coney Knot in our private Discord channel. Sorry, I got distracted because right when you hit number five, my cat decided to sprint around the circumference of my apartment.
Oh, yeah. And, zoomies.
She's going off today.
Gotta get it in. Quick exercise.
Yeah, just a quick lap, stretch the legs. But this comes to us from Coney Knot in our Discord.
As a bonus, if you join the Patreon, you will also help us get closer to eating the poppables. So
that's true. So join if you enjoy our content, or join if you want us to get food poisoning.
Join if you like us, or join if you hate us. Either way.
Love, hate, satisfied, but never ignored. We're like a frat t-shirt from college.
Yeah.
This story is from the City of Bellevue, Nebraska Facebook page. Any kind of municipal Facebook page, always good for some content. So this is about, this starts off in a way that like kind of annoys me, but then it gets fun. So this guy came into the mayor's office of Bellevue, Nebraska, and said he needed some people to serve as official witnesses to be recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records, which you've talked about before. That's the part that annoys me, because this isn't
really a record.
Like it's not like a thing that people are trying to do, so I don't think it should count as a record. You know what I mean? Because this guy wanted to set the record for like longest float of a pumpkin down a river. Like, I don't know how he phrased it.
Yeah.
But basically, this guy grew an 800-pound pumpkin, and he wanted to float it 30 miles down the river. The incredible twist that they then find out, which I think is a real face turn, because that's when things get fun, he's going to be in the pumpkin. So he basically takes a giant pumpkin that he grew and uses it as a boat. And there's a picture of him in the pumpkin, like kayaking down the river. And it's pretty great.
Zelda on the mind. The pump cat.
Pump cat.
Yeah. I mean, like, on one, I want to shit on it, but at the same time, like, I'm so impressed that how does this, I mean, I'm not super up on, you know, like how physics of it, but how does this not just immediately flip over? Like, I almost feel like the amount of core strength it would take to keep the pumpkin upright for that long in water, that would be like an old strongman workout. That would be something from one of these like Viking Ironman competitions. It's just like, keep this pumpkin from flipping over with you in it.
It's, you're right, shaped. But also I'm just thinking about how often on this podcast we invent the idea of boats. Mm-hmm. Like, we ask a question that is answered by the physics of a boat.
Yeah, but here I'm, you know, I'm big upping boats here, and that they're designed to be like a stable shape, where pumpkins trying to get big.
The thing is, when you grow pumpkins this big, they grow on their sides, so they actually do end up with like a flat side. They don't really grow round. So, like, I'll send you a picture. It's not
I'm
like
looking
that,
at it, but without yeah. it, I mean, we don't need to get into full boat conversation. It's like a flat bottom is like bad unless it's really broad.
I just right? mean it's not like it's not like he's in a circle. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like this has the general shape of a boat where it wouldn't immediately flip over.
Well, mystery yeah. solved.
Because, like, yeah, when you grow a pumpkin this big, it's like, it's basically like a weird, like, genetic freak. Like, if it could talk, it would be begging you to kill it. Like, they're not supposed yeah. to be that big.
Which he effectively did. I mean, that's how you'd kill a pumpkin is and celebrate its death is by cutting a huge hole in it, pulling out all its guts, and then sailing it down a river in Nebraska.
That's how I want to go, personally.
Yeah. Being turned into a boat. Just a backwards, a reverse Viking funeral where you're the boat, and they send you off to sea, floating out.
They put a boat inside you, and then push you off to sea.
Yeah, they stretch you over a boat. That,
right.
Like we're getting too like close to something. Yeah,
that's yeah.
Now it seems like something somebody would actually do to you know assert their dominance and like I mean if you were in a little village and some people rolled up in a boat covered in human skin, I would surrender immediately.
I think so. I wouldn't want to mess with that. I wouldn't ask any follow up questions. I will say this guy there actually was a record set that he was defeating. So. Credit to him, because apparently the record was 25.5 miles, and he beat it quite handily. He ended up floating 38 miles down this river. So really a new, you know, really put some numbers up on the board. It took him all day. He started at 7:30 a.m., and then he finished at 6:30 p.m. Yeah. So... really, you know, a nice day trip, I guess.
Yeah, it feels like real core workout, you know, because, yeah, you got to keep that thing steady. So you know, 12 straight hours of that or whatever.
That I definitely think 38 miles of that, that is pretty impressive. But you look at the guy, he doesn't look like, he's in pretty good shape, I guess, for like an older guy. But he's not like jacked or anything. You know what I mean?
That just adds, you got those big ripped shoulders. That's just more top heavy, you know, more, you want to, it's almost helpful to be like pear shaped in this situation. Just bring it to center all the weight within the pumpkin.
One of those Instagram ladies is going to beat the record.
Yeah.
He's going to get in the pumpkin.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it feels like he's really like on your side where this guy set this original record and he was like, I'm just going to hold this dumbass world record forever because nobody else wants to do this.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, actually, I'm going to
bet, motherfucker.
I'm going to put some effort into this and take away your fake world record.
Man, I also think that part of the record should be because like the guy who did this also grew the pumpkin. I feel like that should be part of it. You should have to grow your own boat.
Yeah.
To yes.
Float down the river in.
Grow a boat. It's the new my new business. Hello, sharks. My new business is called Grow a Boat. If you beat a Guinness World Record and they give you your plaque, do they make sure you take it down if it gets beaten? They should come to your house and take it down.
They should come repossess it.
Yeah, they should confiscate it so they that send you can't goons. Lie.
Yeah.
You know?
They Does send the current record holder for the world's most threatening goons to come. No, I don't know what happens when there's a new
most
world's most threatening
henchman.
Goon. Yeah,
world's top goon. Just the reverse of Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. The world's most famous troublemaker. That should be Roadhouse too. I don't know if there is Roadhouse too.
Yeah, the most famous bar disruptors.
There is a Roadhouse too.
The world's
too.
Most
it's
famous angry drunk goes to the Double Deuce.
But they're rebooting Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. It actually sounds like it might be good. That's my current.
I think you made the point of like if they weren't calling it a reboot of Roadhouse, it might actually like it would sound.
I think people would be universally like, hell yeah. They'd be like, wow, that just sounds like Roadhouse, but it would still be like, this sounds tight. Cool. I will watch this.
Yeah,
I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal is a weird energy for is he? I assume he's Dalton.
or whatever the equivalent is. Well, I mean, I feel
he's
like
he's kind of a transformer, though. Like,
so did Patrick Swayze. People wouldn't have thought he, you know what I mean? Like, he was not. I don't know. People thought
he's like
he was
a karate looking guy.
But he. I think at that point, people, and it was also the 80s. So like, people thought because he was a dancer that he was like an effeminate, like pretty boy. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't, I don't think he had a reputation as like a macho guy.
I mean, he was, I guess he was in Outsiders before, but he was in Dirty Dancing 2 years before that. Like, you know, and it was like, that guy, really? That guy's going to beat me up? I mean, they built that into the movie, I guess, but.
Yeah.
I
mean, I was saying
what
like.
What a movie star that guy was. Sorry, need to take a moment to talk about how handsome Patrick Swayze was. Wow. Oh,
talk incredible to my mom stuff. About it. She'll go on. She's got a lot to say.
Really, like world historical.
Yeah,
hunk. One of the top guys.
Yeah, I just meant like most of the stuff. Even though he is a transformer of a bit, like Jake Gyllenhaal bounce. Like, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal would be like him ripping someone's throat out. I'd be like, yeah, because he just has that kind of like chaotic energy in the stuff that he's in. Where I'd be like, you're a bouncer that's probably gonna immediately stab somebody.
Right, if he was like the guy from Nightcrawler, like, you'd be like, afraid of him. You wouldn't want to
It wouldn't be, you wouldn't be rooting for him.
Yeah,
but that's what I was thinking is like, I don't think I would have like picked him for Nightcrawler, but he's so scary in that movie, and like he was so thin and like frightening looking. I feel like he could transform into a jacked guy and like be Roadhouse.
It's also style. apparently going to be set in Key West. It's going to be, which is tight, good scenery. It's going to be directed.
Patty telling us this in his Jimmy Buffett t-shirt, by the way.
That's
very
true.
Very excited about Key West.
Or the Florida Keys, at least. I don't know about, but anyway. Conor McGregor's in it, which is unfortunate, but hopefully he gets beaten up really badly.
That's like funny, though.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no way he's going to let himself get beaten up in a movie. That's like in his contract.
Well, then he's not going to, well, what's he going to be? He's not the main guy. So
I'm just saying, he's not going to take, he's not going
to. Like his friend or something?
He's like, I hate to say this because I like one of these guys way better than the other, but he's like the Terry Funk of 2022. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I guess. Maybe.
Just
and then,
heavy.
The one who I think I'm most excited about being in it is Billy Magnussen, who is like, who can really project like a complete psycho if needed.
Yeah.
And he's like in good shape. So I think that.
Truly no that, idea
he's
who
a,
that man
he's
is.
He's a great enemy of a bouncer at a bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a bunch of stuff as like an asshole. He has kind of a white supremacist vibe.
He's the guy from Made for Love. If you've seen,
he's got
that.
A similar vibe to the Stranger Things football guy who goes nuts in the latest season.
He's one of the realtor guys in The Big Short, right? Mm.
I don't know about that. He's in. Let's see. Yes, he is. You're right. He's one of the Florida realtor guys. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I was just imagining a German Billy Madison. That's what it sounded like to me when you said
Billy
it.
Billy Magnussen.
Billy Magnussen.
He's the Scandinavian.
He's also,
I think, like a Broadway guy as well. But he's in Game Night.
Yes.
He's
really
good
at being a psycho.
He's really good in the first thing that I remember him being a psycho that I saw him in was The Oath, which was
yes.
He plays like
friend
a
friend of the show, Ike Barinholtz's movie. Very good.
Yeah.
I think we saw that together.
He's in the
it's
new
really
James
great.
Bond.
He okay. is in the new James Bond.
He'd be a
that's
good villain.
Too.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Billy Magnussen, check him out.
He played young Pauly in The Many Saints of Newark. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's true.
I think every James Bond villain should cry blood now. After they did it with Mads Mikkelsen, it was
goes
so cool.
West.
Ingrid
yeah.
yeah. Yeah. But they found like that one's cool enough it should just be part of every Bond villain. Like they can have their other stuff, but like they should also
but they
cry,
all cry
blood.
Blood. That yeah. would that's a very anime opinion that they should all cry blood.
Oh yeah. I mean anime is great. James Bond, there should be a James Bond anime. How's that for
there
an
should.
Every single villain should say, it's nothing sinister, I assure you. It's like, yeah, I know, okay. But it does mean you're the bad guy, because every bad guy has this.
I mean, so. James Bond is like the ending scene of James Bond is practically like that's anime too. It's like they're saying their plan, and then James Bond is basically like, I'm behind you, and you're already dead. Like,
that's
and he
very
shoots
anime.
A laser into them. So,
yeah.
You know.
I think the new James Bond should start with, like, Doctor Who. Like Daniel Craig should be flashing, and then it should turn into the new James Bond.
Yeah.
He should be like, I don't want to go, and then he'll just wait, and then he'll just be the new James Bond. We'll see if they do that.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good suggestions.
Free idea,
let us
Hollywood.
Write a Bond movie. Yeah.
Yeah, we've had that. I said who I think the next Bond should be. Daniel Day Kim, dude. He'd be so good.
Ooh, he would be good. That's a good choice.
Who did they? What happened? Because they said it was going to be Idris Elba, and then everyone—I don't know—everyone was like,
"They never said it was going to be anybody." There's just always constantly rumors. Like that's like one of the three entertainment things the UK gets to like constantly talk about. So they, you know, they're really into that.
in between their tabloid stories about like Jordan with a Y, or like one of those other people that no one in America knows, but are right.
Well, Rita Ora married Taika Waititi or something, so she like, she seems to have graduated beyond, you know, being like in the. The UK leagues. She's like an actual celebrity, sort of. So.
Yeah, so they need a new one.
Taika Waititi just got one of those like breastbone tattoos, you know, like the right across the middle of the chest on the clavicles. There's no quicker way for me to kind of get annoyed
stop
by somebody
liking you,
to have one of those.
What is it? Yeah. What does it say?
It's like a bird or some shit. It's like a fucking, you know, it's like one of those things.
He got like the Maroon 5 guy,
yeah,
like, eagle on the chest,
yeah. Or Aaron Rodgers' horrible,
oh my god,
forearm tattoo.
There's another story we're doing on this episode that has tattoos in it that I have a lot to say about. So
Aaron Rodgers' tattoo is so good.
I will save my very strong tattoo opinion.
It's like, look, you got to learn a bunch of stuff to understand this tattoo. It's like, oh my god,
that makes the worst tattoos. Like, god,
It looks like every music festival poster I've ever looked at. It looks terrible.
So fucking lame. It's so lame. And it's going to look so bad in a couple years because it's all these tiny lines. But it's like, people just get things because you, like, I feel like people think that if they get a tattoo with meaning, they won't get sick of it. And it's like, it is actually the opposite.
Yeah.
Get things because you think they look cool. Mm-hmm. They will stand the test of time way better than, like, your pocket watch with a specific time on it and the dates of all of your family members and, you know, a compass rose pointing to your hometown. Like, it's you're going to hate that in a couple years.
They'll also wait a little, because definitely if I'd just gotten tattoos of stuff that I thought looked cool when I was younger, I would also regret that. So once you figure it out, once you feel like you probably know who you are, then you can start.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. I just feel like people are like, no, like they try to incorporate all these things. They're like, no, I really like music. So it's a treble clef with the birth date of my cat or whatever. And it's like, just,
also,
it's going to look ugly if you try to put all that stuff in it. Like, just try to make it look nice. And then you can decide what it means to you, like, privately. Like, it doesn't have to project. I don't know. I don't get
it. Most people like music. Like, that's their thing. It's like, well, that's sort of the, you know, one of the things that makes us human.
It's notable if you don't like music. That's a weird thing to opt out.
You should get I'm getting a tattoo of the word podcasts because I like podcasts. I don't listen to music.
Don't give people more Patreon goal ideas, please.
I mean, how many patrons would we have to get for me to get a tattoo that says podcasts? Number.
If it's just you, 1,301.
1299.
If I'm not involved, I don't
give a shit. We'll eat the Papa Bowls right after.
I would do it if I could decide both the size and the placement, and it was paid for. I would do it.
But it says podcasts?
But it would be so tiny it would be gone in like a year. Like, I would make sure to get it like extremely tiny, and it
just
would
get
be
it
somewhere
on your
that
palm that so that it rubs off after 2 weeks.
Yeah, that palm tattoos hurt so bad though. I would not do that. I would do like top butt cheek in super tiny single needle. That's what I would do.
Just get stick and poked on.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, we'll think of a number.
We'll figure out the number. I don't think anybody wants this, though. I don't think this is a good
famous last words. I don't think anyone wants this.
We'll stream her getting it. No, we won't.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
Not if it's on my butt, please. No stream of my butt will exist.
Yeah.
Folks, if you're enjoying this episode you're listening to right now, you should also check out this week's bonus episode on our Patreon, patreon.com/oneatimepod. This week, we talk about an ancient bison that people ate not in ancient times. Very gross.
We talked about salvia and doing salvia and what it's like to do salvia.
We also talked about the cool way that Mormons have sex.
It's great. Check it out. Mormon sex and the bonus. Both.
Soak it up, the bonus. Number four?
Yeah, number four.
Number four!
Number four, this comes to us from Men's Room Louie.
Which the more I read that name, the more it does sound like slang for something you get done to you in a men's room or you get asked for in a men's room.
I was thinking, yeah, like the idea of like the lore of someone earning that nickname is very funny.
Yeah, not a good one. Definitely one would be like,
I guess how? they could have called the Fonz that because he was always in the bathroom.
Was he always in the bathroom?
Yeah, his hangout was the bathroom at the diner.
And that was like cool? People thought that was cool?
I guess.
It was so weird. What the fuck? I was just like, he kicked the jukebox. So this guy spent all his day waiting in the bathroom, walking out and kicking the jukebox?
I feel like he like hung out in the bathroom a lot.
That's the behavior of like a elf that
someone
works at the
who
bar.
Earns yeah. The nickname Men's Room Louie. Anyway.
Jesus.
What's our
yeah,
story?
The best outcome of Men's Room Louie is like cocaine dealer. Like that's yeah. It's like, oh, it's Men's Room Louie.
That's where his office was.
His
yeah,
office.
Yeah, exactly. He called it his office.
What a weird character. well, this story is about some cool guys too. It's a new statue that's been just unveiled in Birmingham, and or Birmingham or whatever the fuck. It is a recreation of a meme photo that I guess they say this is like a very famous meme. I hadn't seen it before. This might
again,
be like
an England specific.
Yeah, hasn't meme, made perhaps. It across the pond. We'll get it in 2 years, you know. But it's four guys hanging out. You know, it's very like, you know, the kind of photo you take and be like fit check or something, or be like looking good with the boys. Very like
they,
proud
they look
photo.
Like the kind of boys that are gonna cause problems in the new Roadhouse if it were set in England.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Boy.
They've all got these crazy. They've got just absolute like. Whatever the tattoo equivalent of like walking into a tattoo shop with just a picture of the Maroon 5 guy and being like, do these.
That well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, this was a story that their tattoos are so like, yeah, they're totally. It's just like if you asked Dolly to make tattoo sleeve, that's what it would give you.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like, distinguishing about any of it. Like, you can't even really, there's one guy that has a few portraits, but the rest of it you can't even tell what it is. Like,
yeah, it's I mean, that's the thing. I think there's like a, that's like a subset of tattoo that you see a lot now where it's like clear that they walked in and got a full sleeve and that was
right.
One of their first tattoos, like, yeah. It's like a very specific. There was like, I saw a guy on Friday that had the same thing that pissed me off, where it was just like a bunch of tattoos that were very clearly had been all, they got all of them at the same time, and it just yeah. Is like strange. But yeah, they've got that going on.
I'm really not a fan of that kind of style. I really don't like it. I like being able, and that's why like the Maroon 5 guy actually is different, because his are all in the style that they're very legible. Like, you can see what they are from really far away.
Yeah.
They do look like he got them all at the same time, which I think is very lame and like corny. But like, they, at least it's not just like this mass of ink, which these guys have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if this is probably extremely boring to everyone, but
no,
I have very strong opinions about this.
I'm sorry, because all four of these guys listen to the show. This is going to be tough.
Yeah. And we got some watches.
They listen to it together. They put a Bluetooth speaker down, and they just stand like they're standing in the picture.
They
and
put
it
on
it.
In their Uber.
Yeah.
When they're going to the bar. They also, so they're like, they're wearing extremely tight clothing. They have big
non-functional, like pants that don't have, like, one guy's got dress pants on. Those don't like give when you sit down when they're that tight. So I don't really understand how this guy's not constantly splitting his pants.
They are like the physical, not only are they like a meme of guys standing in front of a bar, they could also be a like don't skip leg day meme, because mm-hmm. They are twice as big on top as they are on the bottom.
Yeah,
it is very a very strangely proportioned group.
There's
of
a
men.
Polo on that's like so tight that both the collars are curling up and also the nipples are more prominent than the buttons on the shirt. They're like all the way through, so they're all posing. They think they're looking very good. Just every like. Yeah, like literally, like, I mean, I feel like this phrase is so played out, but it would be like just like a National Geographic exploration of the fuckboy, like a diagram.
Yes.
Of like, here are four guys that are going to cause an issue in your friend group. Like, so they're all there, but it became a meme picture. So they've been celebrated. I mean, to be fair, the statue does not look that much like them. Also, one thing that's bothering me...
Is the statue in the same place that they took the picture?
I think it's in their city.
That kind of rules. I think it is.
I think it is in the same place. If you look at the background of where the statue is, it's got that similar kind of pattern of the window and behind.
This is why we need more arts funding in America.
That's true.
So we can.
These guys all look like they're in the Edgar suit, though. This statue, like all of them, look like they're like there's a bug wearing them. They're human form.
It's a little abstract for sure. I just feel like if we had arts funding in America, they would have made a. You know, I had to do it to him statue and put it on that street. You know what I mean?
Very good. Yeah.
I would love that. You know, bring some tourist dollars to your town. I think it's great. If I were going to Birmingham, I would take a picture with this statue.
Yeah. It's a fun representation. I think it's fun to have it a little different.
they do look really freaky though. It is not like a flattering, like I can't imagine these guys appreciate art based on what they look like. So I think they're probably like, why didn't you make me like look more buff? Like,
yeah, it looks like something out of like the more experimental, like the person was like just getting into cubism, like starting to experiment. Also, one detail I have to say is like the guy has his polo tucked into his pants, but they're drawstring pants, and that's just very strange. It's a weird choice, but so they've been immortalized by this. It's a perfect place for a statue, like you said, it's just outside of a bar where it's like that's such a great place for a statue of just like dudes that look like this.
I wish I knew enough about British culture to like describe what subculture they are representing. You know what I mean? Like they're not quite chavs. They're not quite like, because there's like the Jersey Shore equivalent over there. They're not quite like British Guidos. But there's something near those.
I think they're like Love Island guys. I think that's like a thing.
Is this what Love Island guys are?
I think they look like Love Island guys. I don't know Love Island that closely, but everything I've seen of it is right along with this vibe.
I guess that makes sense. You know what they are? They are... the guy being described in the Idol song "Never Fight a Man with a Perm." That's who they are. If you guys know that song,
I do not.
But I don't know that song.
Well, I trust you.
it's a great song, and it describes these guys.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So.
So
they did attend at least at some point. There's a picture of three of the lads in front of the statue. I'm not sure what happened to the fourth
at the grand
lad.
Opening. He died. He went back to his home planet.
It's not. Wait, let's be careful. I don't know if he does.
I hope that they're just not friends with him anymore. They're like,
they had a falling out. No, they have an Instagram profile. So unless they have a situation where it's like when an Instagram pet dies and they keep the account going, I would imagine that.
That would be a wild thing to do for around. A person.
Just keep it rolling.
I can imagine one of those sexy Instagram ladies them doing that for one of them. Keeping
like
the,
this account is now about a new person. We picked a new person.
We just transferred it over.
Yeah.
Just sell it for their estate to someone else who wants a million followers. But yeah, if you live in England and you want to go to Birmingham and check out these guys, this must have been huge.
Out.
It says these dudes were in a McDonald's advertisement based off of this photo in 2021. So this is, I guess, truly like a cultural thing that we just do not know about.
Incredible. Their pants have gotten baggier. I think one of them is maybe wearing a skirt in this in the picture of the opening of the statue.
I don't have this.
I'm not seeing that
photograph.
The guy on the left looks like he might be wearing a skirt.
Oh. I think he's just wearing really tight shorts.
No, those are shorts.
Those are shorts? There's like a... All right. Well,
they're tight, but they are
good radio.
Well, I see. Okay, never mind. I feel like the platform of the statue. I think there's been some Photoshop here that is confusing me. But anyway,
there may have been some Photoshop. I want this is like obviously very old news for people that are familiar with the lads already. But I would just like to discuss the very careful placement of where they're standing, kind of, to make it so they're kind of closer to all the same height, because they do not all appear to be the same height, but the way that they're sort of...
They put the tall guys in the, like, sort of angled.
Yeah, and they're, like, kind of standing, like, like, kind of half sideways. One foot's, like, way out in front. I don't know. There's just a lot of kind of... these guys know how to pose for photos.
There is sort of, like, the male equivalent of the sort of creative... Instagram thirst trap posting that women do about like finagling these kinds of height differences.
There is
a real art to it. Like that picture of Dave Portnoy is what I'm thinking of, where he is on his tippy toes further up than I've ever seen anyone who is not a ballerina be on their tippy toes.
That was like, there were a billion pictures of like Chris Hardwick that were him on his tippy toes next to people all the time.
Yeah,
him he'd like and post his, them cropped.
Him and his wife were very creative because she was taller than him.
Yeah, she's tall, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at this. Yeah, they definitely, you know, wasn't the first picture that was taken. It was definitely taken as somebody took this multiple times before they posted. But hey, you know, maybe they do look like life has maybe softened them in this later photo. So who knows? Best of luck to them.
Their clothes are much more relaxed. I feel like they're more, you know, secure in themselves.
Yeah.
So good for them. Congrats.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of these guys. Proud of the lads.
Proud of the lads.
Congrats number three. To the lads.
Number three.
Number three.
Number three comes to us from Iguana Helium Cube in the Discord. This is a story about Mount Kilimanjaro, the famous tall-ass place. And I guess now they have Wi-Fi on Mount Kilimanjaro. Which, you know, this is being framed on the NPR story that we were sent as, you know, Mount Kilimanjaro climbers can now share slope selfies in real time. I think the primary purpose of this is probably a safety thing. Like, you know, hey, here's where we're located. You know, we would like to be rescued or whatever. And not.
It's so you can use all trails on it. So you can put your, you know,
yes.
your Avenza map into it. It'll tell you where to go.
Set out for a quick weekend jaunt up Mount Kilimanjaro.
Not so you can get in a quote tweet fight with somebody or something. That's not really what you.
That's
so,
what I would be doing on Mount Kilimanjaro for sure.
Oh, I just think it's funny that you. Yeah.
Getting flattened by an avalanche while I'm checking Instagram.
So
this is
weird
to me too, because it's like Mount Kilimanjaro is in Tanzania. I don't know how much of regular Tanzania has, like, good Wi-Fi. It's funny to be prioritized Mount Kilimanjaro. Like, there are people that live there that probably could use some Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but we're not going there, Kath. We just need...
I don't know. If you're going to figure out some router placement, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Everest has had it for years, so this is not exactly new. But
that's interesting.
Less than 45% of the area of Tanzania is covered by any form of cell reception as of 2020. So yeah, it's a little bit, they're a little focused on the, and I get it, right? Because it's like a source of tourism and stuff and, you know, foreign money coming in, I guess, right? For all these big expeditions. You know, what opinions on that, I'm sure, are varied. But it does... allow you to, I guess, stream on Facebook Live, and if you fall in a crevasse, the hearts can turn into those like concerned faces or something, I guess, as they pop up.
Live streaming on Citizen because my friend has fallen into a crevasse.
Getting banned from Twitch for live streaming from the bathroom at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Weird thing to think about, people like, but I guess that's why people do most things. I'm not excluding myself from that. Like, you know, oh, I got to get a post off about this. You know, but I mean, you bring a camera, you take a picture, you post it later. You don't have to post it while you're up there, I guess. Got to make sure you use that. You get that Instagram like proximity thing where you can put in the name of the place.
You need to put in the location name, so you gotta post it while you're there.
Yeah
You always just lie. See,
you fuck it up because you're like oxygen deprived, and so you put on the filters all wrong, and then it looks really weird when you're back at regular altitude.
Mm-hmm.
you have to fix it.
Throwing up two extremely frostbitten fingers and peace sign to my Instagram post. Yeah. So,
but I worry the kinds of people that are going to be lured by the cell reception are maybe not the most conscientious of climbers, if that's a thing. You know, like there's already enough problems with like all these mountains. Just like you see like all the garbage and stuff that people leave, and it's like you should be like pushed off the top of the mountain if you leave a bunch of garbage. Like I don't understand. It's like insane to me that people
like
to do that.
It's kind of like necessary for how people climb it that you do, like you kind
with
of
the
can't.
Weight, but
yeah, but it's like the problem is that they've made it sort of too easy to climb. Like all you need is a lot of money. We just did a story about extreme travel on Lie, Cheat, and Steal, my other podcast, which you can get anywhere you find podcasts. where, like, we were just talking about, like, the extreme travel, like, tourism industry, and basically you need at least $30,000 to climb Everest. And if you have $30,000 and you're in reasonable shape for an adult, they'll pretty much let you do it. And, it, like, you don't, they, it's just like, anyway, sorry. I could have gone on a very long tangent about it, but well, yeah,
you need $30,000 to successfully climb Everest. You can die on Everest for free. You can wander up.
No, that's the thing. All the people who die on it paid thousands of dollars to be there. You are not, you can't wander up it for free. You need all these permits and stuff. So, like, they permitted all this stuff basically to be like, this is the maximum amount of people who can leave trash on Everest this year.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just fucking stays. It's really bad.
And this leads me to plug two things. One is the John Krakauer book, Into Thin Air, which is extremely good about climbing Everest.
One of the most popular books of all time, right?
Probably. It's good as hell. It's really intense. It's a very good read. The other thing is the television series Evil, which we've plugged before.
Yes.
Which one of the plot points that recurs is the main character's husband is like a guy who runs a mountain climbing company. So he's just gone for periods of a time.
He is constantly climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah. No spoilers as to what's going on now. But for like the first couple seasons, it's just like, well, time to go back. See you in like six episodes, if then, you know, like just kind of.
Well, clearly there's money in it. He's getting those $30,000. He's racking them up and leaving people dead on the side of Mount Everest.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check both of those out for more mountain climbing related things.
Yeah, we're now one more podcast.
One more so than the other, I will admit.
I don't think the Wi-Fi will necessarily like attract influencers or whatever, but I bears? Do think it's like it's
Wi-Fi
just
will attract bears.
They love it.
Yeah,
they're bears are just roaming trying to get cell reception everywhere. But I think like anything you do that makes these things easier and less dangerous to climb like fucks up the ecosystem. It's like no, you should make sure people understand that they will die if they try to do this, and then people will do it less and there'll be less like trash on the mountain.
Look, maybe we'll finally get someone streaming the Yeti, and that's all worth it if we can finally get live footage of the abominable snowman.
That's what we need.
It's the real thing.
That's what we need.
I wonder if Mount Kilimanjaro has a cryptid. I'm gonna Google this.
Isn't that the Himalayas or no?
No, it's in Tanzania.
Kilimanjaro's in Africa, yeah.
I don't know where mountains are. I stay on sea level. I just think all mountains are just the Yeti, right?
There is a specific Mount Kilimanjaro
the empty
cryptid
man.
Called...
That would be tight, dude. If you saw the empty man, that would be tight.
He was on a mountain. That's where he started.
Actually, it'd be really bad if you saw the empty man. You'd see how it turned out for that guy? Pretty
bad. That's fair. It wasn't great.
You do see Empty Man. Do not play his flute. A warning.
Do not, under any circumstances, play his flute.
That's a very simple, easy to follow piece of advice.
You'd think until you get your hands on that flute. Mm.
The Mount Kilimanjaro cryptid is called Ngoloko. Ngoloko.
I thought Ngoloko was banned. Or they removed the caffeine from Ngoloko. Now it's less dangerous. So, thank you. It's the opposite of the Seinfeld music. I've never felt more.
he drinks blood and buffalo milk and eats honey. He smells bad.
I think that's most cryptids.
Come on.
There's not many cryptids where I'm like, that probably smells good. Jersey Devil, not somebody I'm like, bet he has a pleasant aroma.
Pretty stinky. Yeah, no cryptids really known for their intoxicating perfume. Yeah, he basically looks like a Yeti. He's pretty much a Yeti.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own Yeti, I think, is the thing.
Yeah. The Yeti's just become so, you know, just so diffused by now. Just everyone's got their own Yeti.
Where did the Yeti start? Okay, the Yeti is Tibetan.
Mm-hmm.
The Yeti is like Himalayan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like we got our Bigfoot. We got our, everybody's got one.
Yeah, just a series of creatures. Any creature that tried to kill Tintin at one point, I'm pretty familiar with. That's my knowledge here.
Okay.
Tintin ran into them, I'm familiar. Yeah, I guess it's a safety thing. It's good, but it is. It's just like the phrase they added Wi-Fi to Mount Kilimanjaro. It just feels beautiful to say.
I love the idea of there being a person who's like, this is the thing that tips it over. Like they right. like they now were like gonna go. It's like, all right, we're finally in. Like,
yeah.
Okay, that's what you needed. All right, man. Like, you know, go for it.
One of those famous pictures of a Sherpa with like a, you know, like a small child strapped to them, but the child's on an iPad now, just playing fucking Subway Surfers or whatever.
I couldn't get a babysitter, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just deep in the Wikipedia page of various Yetis. The Japanese one is called Hibagon. The Australian one is called Yowie. That's a really good name.
Yowie.
Yowie. Yeah.
That's what I say when the Yeti snaps my leg in half. Yeah.
The Russians have Alma, so there's quite a few. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, look, everyone's got them, so they must be real.
They must just be real. Yeah.
Now the Wi-Fi's up there. Finally figured out.
You can. That's what they put the Wi-Fi up there for, is so you can post a pic immediately to track its location.
Yeah.
Because you got to get it uploaded before, because that's the thing. Everyone else who's taken a picture has been, had their bones crushed and eaten or whatever. So yeah. Right. That's why you get it off before.
Have your bones ground to bread, unfortunately.
For your untimely demise.
Real quick.
Yeah. R.I.P. Bones were ground to bread. Ran into a giant. Yeah. Get some Wi-Fi at the top of that beanstalk. I want to see that big dinner. Take some photos of that cheese.
Take some pics of that big dinner.
Yeah. Take a pic from inside the big Swiss cheese that while being pursued by the hungry giant.
Oh, damn. This is tight.
Yo, yeah. Are you following Jack on Instagram? He went up that beanstalk, and now he's in that big dinner.
Yeah, it's like he wouldn't stop posting about those beans and how good a deal he got, but you know what? It actually paid off.
An Instagram ad for Magic Beans, just being like, these beans changed my life.
Right, hustle culture guys, but for the beans.
Magic bean hustle culture.
And they're, it's like Bitcoin. They all change their profile pictures to have beans for eyes instead of the glowing red bullshit.
Yep.
Can't get enough of those
beans.
Have you
seen Jack's Instagram story? It's like he's posted so many times. There, it's just little dots instead of dashes now.
You got to get in on these beans.
Before it's too late.
They bought a whole warehouse in rural Texas, and now they're using the warehouse to mine beans. That's what they're just trying to get more of these beans.
Yeah. They promised the town the beans would change their economy, but it's actually right. driven them into bankruptcy.
It's like the Olympics, but beans. That's Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two, this comes to us from the poetic username of Eric Eating Cassoulet in Summer. I'm not 100% sure what cassoulet is, but it does sound like something that's probably not perfect for summer.
It's French peasant food.
That's like duck stew.
Yeah.
I know that was the definition, but that sounded so dismissive. Some French peasant food.
I think they're trying to reference Patty's love of hot summer French onion soup.
That is sort of what I was thinking as well. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, get owned. Good taste.
It's a rich, slow-cooked casserole, so take that. Yeah, I assumed any food like that kind of, I assume it's some manner of goose that was tortured in a different way. Just some sort of fancy thing where it's like, we made a goose have the worst life of all time. And
we made a goose kill its parents.
Right. I was going to say, right. They kill your family. The goose's family in front of it. That's the only way to make it taste the way that it needs to taste for this dish.
The tears salt its own meat. No seasoning needed. Melts in your mouth. But cassoulet aside, this story, there is more. The air travel has not been having the best year ever.
And the worst week ever.
Yeah. Apparently, maybe this tension has spilled over into the employees because Air France recently had a flight where the pilots were suspended because they got into a brawl in the middle of the flight in the cockpit. So this was somewhere in between Geneva and Paris. Cabin personnel heard noise in the cockpit and intervened. The two pilots were just full on. The description is brawling in the cockpit, and they had to be separated, and then they had to have someone stay in the cockpit with them the rest of the flight to keep them cool, keep them level headed.
Yeah.
I know they mean like probably through the door, but it would be funny if it were over the intercom that they could hear them.
Just sounds like a Looney Tunes dust cloud right through the intercom.
It's that tom-tom that like...
Just repeatedly recalculating. Yeah, and then again, this is one of our other, you know, a classic thing on this podcast, but that I love, where something like this happens and then they have to issue like a apology, but it's like, what are you fixing? There's nothing to fix here. You just have to.
Right.
People aren't supposed to fight in the cockpit. So they're like, oh, we're going to do a
safety audit. Don't assign those
guys
with each other anymore.
Yeah. We're going to strengthen post-flight analysis. Okay. Here's my analysis. Pilots aren't allowed to beat the shit out of each other in the middle of a flight.
We're conducting a new policy that pilots are not allowed to fight in the cockpit to prevent this. It's like,
no longer.
Sure.
Funnily enough, that was not previously in the training.
Right. So. Yeah. Do not beat the shit out of your co-pilot. Yeah. I wonder what they were fighting about.
Who gets to hold the big joystick? Obviously.
Of course.
This is clear to anyone. Because the co-pilot doesn't... The co-pilot's job is just to be there in case something happens to the main pilot, and then maybe you decided to make something happen to the main pilot.
Well, and also the co-pilot's job is to be there in case something happens to the main pilot, and the main pilot's job is to be there in case something happens to the computer that actually flies the plane.
Yeah.
Is my understanding.
Yeah. I think they should have made them sit they should have locked down one of them in the jump seat like a toddler, just with that like 5-point harness in there. Yeah, or put them down in the cargo hold. Oh,
give them one of those oxygen masks. Calm them down. Some extra oxygen.
Hey, here's a fun fact I found out about planes recently. Like, every commercial flight ever definitely has a dead body on it.
So really?
Just anytime you're flying, there's like almost always a corpse in the plane.
In the cargo hold?
Yeah, they're like it somewhere? Always flying a dead body somewhere. So just, that's in there.
How did you learn that? Or like, what is that?
I think I was reading one of these, I was reading like a thing on like, flight attendant confidential type things, where there's like flight attendants sharing details about.
And they're full of corpses.
There's like, they're like almost every commercial flight has a coffin on it.
I would like to opt out of that knowledge, personally. Is there a way to do that? Is it too late now?
No. Nope.
Can we go back?
Now. Welcome to our podcast.
Shelby, beep all of that out.
But on the Patreon only, Eli's terrifying fact.
I mean, it makes sense. Like,
yeah.
People pass away in places that they are not going to be buried or where their family doesn't live or something. Makes sense.
Sorry, luggage
don't
is haunted
love that.
Now.
Yeah, like, because, like, that does that mean my bags are, like, touching it? I don't want my stuff tainted by that.
Yeah, only if you gate check. That's
why you gotta keep your bags with you.
If it's really tight, they just wrap it. They put it in there and wrap the arms around it. So that's pretty bad.
If you have to check it at the gate, that's where they put it.
Gate check is so like, that is how I feel whenever like we need to gate check your bag. It's like, you got to just be throwing it in some fucked up corner. Like, please don't. There's nothing I could do here, but fine. And then I think it's just a lie because they always lose it. I feel like they just go, we need to gate check your bag.
We're putting it in the coffin. It's going in the coffin.
They just huck it out the gate.
Yeah.
They just,
We're opening the coffin and it's going in the coffin.
What is this? The movie Flight Plan starring Jodie Foster.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, we need to gate check your bag. And then you walk on the plane like, all right, so just mail that to New York later. We're quote unquote gate checking that bag.
They mean check like in the hockey sense.
Yeah.
When they say they're gate checking your bag.
Yeah. That's a good name too.
Next time they ask me if I want to pay $60 to check my bag, I'm going to be like, and have it touch a dead body? No, thank you.
I know what you have in there. Yeah. Another fun prank you do is to your friend, you say gate check in an airport and then you punch them in the asshole. You give them a little gate check. Pow!
How do you punch someone in the asshole?
Spread them apart and land it right in there. You got to use one of those sternum spreaders that they use in surgery. And then, wow. Or you got really small fists.
Really tiny precision fists.
Don't fight a toddler. You get gate checked. Knocked right in there. Bad place to have a bruise, though, for sure.
Asshole? Yeah, not great.
Yeah, that would seem,
You know, something to think about. A lot to think about on this story.
Much to think about.
Yeah.
So these guys, they were fighting over Cassoulet or something. Someone said they wouldn't share the ratatouille or something, I assume.
They only got one. They ran out of pretzels.
They were arguing about whose turn it was to force feed the goose.
Yeah. Doing that. They wanted to use the big joystick. Probably the intercom, too. I feel like, you know, like who gets to make the funny announcements in the beginning?
God. Funny announcements don't bother me that much, but I hate when you're on a fucking plane and the pilot has too much to say. It's like, do you understand that every time you press this button, you pause my movie?
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. Stop telling
I'm
me
I'm trying
things.
To watch Annabelle come home.
I am.
You're stopping me from that.
You're preventing me from experiencing the dynamic flow of this movie because you need to like explain very specifically what height you're going to be at to avoid the turbulence. Yeah. That's your job. You don't need to tell me how you do it. I just trust you to do it.
Trying to figure out who put these mirrors in everybody's eyes in Red Dragon, sir. Why don't you chill out?
I'm busy. I'm busy sobbing to Coco for the fourth time.
They need to put a warning on movies that are going to make you cry on an airplane. Coco, I mean, you know it's coming. But
Okay.
I'm not even sure with that one.
Shelby just does not enjoy airplane talk. I think all airplane talk kind of gets the Seinfeld. Just like automatically.
Oh,
like
every
aspect of being on an airplane has been covered. Mm-hmm. But I still feel strongly about this. Shut up, pilots. Keep it to yourself.
Get out.
Don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it means when you turn on the seatbelt sign. You don't need to come on the intercom and explain it again.
Yeah. Imagine actually being in a water landing and having to try to remember what you're supposed to do from a video they showed you where there were a bunch of children breakdancing at the beginning of the flight. Fucking Virgin Atlantic or something. I was like, I don't know, there's like a kid doing the robot and I think I'm supposed to get, there's a cushion under my seat? I don't know, I kind of tuned the whole thing out.
Yeah, I have never understood what is under my seat. I'm just, we all know that this is all for nothing and we're all going to die. So I'm not paying attention. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Joining the guy in the cargo hold. Anyways.
Yep. Anyways.
Number one.
That's why you have to clap when you land, because it otherwise you have to scare the body back into the coffin.
Yeah, it's actually, an old folk belief.
No, that's why airplane cargo holds are lined in salt, so that the ghost can't get into the general passenger.
You
got to
avoid a strange situation.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the seals have been broken on the cargo hold, so there will be ghosts coming into the cabin. Anywho.
Number one.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
We have a new champion in the field of lying down. This is in Montenegro. The story came to us from Wet Bigfoots in the Discord. We got a guy, Zarko Pejanovic, and it's the 12th edition of the Lying Down competition in Montenegro, and he lasted for 60 hours, and he's the winner.
How many days is that? Like two and a half-ish?
Yeah, a little less than two and a half, yeah.
Almost, I think exactly two and a half.
It's exactly two and a half, never mind.
Yeah. He has stuff to do.
I feel like it's harder to get up at that point than it is to continue.
At my
down.
Age, hit the Seinfeld.
These days.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, I guess he was asked about how it felt. He said, it wasn't difficult. Believe me, I didn't even warm up. So I don't. It's a good bit, I guess. Yeah.
Good bit. Very good bit.
Yeah. Here's another Seinfeld. Yeah, this guy broke the world record after sitting in a beanbag chair. Hard to get out of those
things are tough.
Tough to get out of.
He got a prize of 350 euros. That was the competition. Apparently, the competition was set up to poke fun at the stereotype that Montenegrins are lazy. So it's taking back.
That's a real second place stereotype to the stereotype that Montenegrins aren't a thing because no one knows that's a country. So, like, I don't have any stereotypes about Montenegro.
Well, I guess internally it's their own stereotypes. Yeah, I don't know. But
self-hating
anyway.
Montenegrins.
Feels like the kind of thing that there were wars fought over, but now at least it's the subject of a contest that somebody wins 350 euros, I guess.
Or it's local, like when you go to Italy and then everyone is like really racist towards Albanians all of a sudden, and you're like, what? You're like, I do not think about them at all. And you're like, all right.
Mad Men Elevator. All the Albanians in Mad Men Elevator.
Yeah. You're just like, wow, okay, you guys really don't like these. Okay. Yeah, it's a good job by him. I don't know. It's, you know, that's a pretty long time, 60 hours.
You talking about beanbags reminded me, Vanessa Gonzalez, former guest of the show, has a really great bit about getting out of a hammock and it is humiliating. Just there's no other word for it.
And you can never flip over because there's always a fucking big ass root under every hammock I've ever been in. If you fall out, you like bean yourself on the root real hard. No good. Get rid of
it. Gotta stop setting up your hammocks over this swamp filled with alligators.
Oh, yeah. That's another big problem.
Yeah.
Why have you done this? Yeah. So.
That's right, Patty. Undignified is a good way to put it. Very undignified.
There's no cool way to do it.
Same with getting out of a pool without a ladder. Never graceful.
Oh, if you're really hot, you can, because then you like flip your hair back and you know.
Yeah, I'm not though. So I'm I'm crawling up like a bug.
Crawling up like a bug that got too got too close to soup. Just getting out of the pool looks like I'm getting out of a soup bowl every time.
Yeah, I'm getting out of that big dinner. That's what it is.
I fell in the giant's water.
I mean, if you have like enough leverage, you can, you know, upper body kind of gracefully do it. But if you're like in the deep, if you can't touch the bottom and you're just trying to pull yourself up, that's not cute. That's not looking good.
No.
I look like a bug, a soggy bug.
Soggy bug.
Everyone out of the pool. There's a big soggy bug. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm so sorry. Thought you were a giant water bug.
I'm a person.
Feels like a trigger happy TV bit. Just get into a pool dressed as a big wet bug. Trying to get them to force everybody out. Yeah.
But. Anyway. This guy, I mean, so the rules of the contest are, you know, when I hear somebody not doing anything for 60 hours, it's like, did you get to go to the bathroom? Like, what's the, you know, what's the deal there?
And could you pick your streaming show to watch? Were you allowed?
I don't know. Yeah. He's just like laying up kind of against like a tree. He's got like a pillow, you know? So yeah, it's, I don't know what they have access to. If they have a phone and they can just kind of look at their phone the whole time, you know, that would make it easier.
I'm going to set the Guinness Book of World Records record for look at phone.
For looking at phone.
Longest time look at phone.
Real Beetle Bailey vibes.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know why they kept Beetle Bailey in the army. He was not a good soldier.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Our listeners love these topical Beetle Bailey bits we got going on.
Who remember Beetle Bailey was really wildin'. Post screenshots of old Beetle Bailey
220,000 Twitter faves. Beetle Bailey wildin', and it's just a Beetle Bailey strip.
Is Beetle Bailey still going?
I mean, of course. Like, I feel like all those are just going.
They're written by AI now.
Yeah. Basically, they're now like... It's like an old family of scribes where it's passed down onto somebody.
Beetle Bailey is still running, yeah.
Started in 1950. Bailey
really getting on Sarge's nerves.
I would too.
Right.
It's torture just like, for like, Sarge.
It's been like 7+ years and there's one gag. Like, this guy is a goofus. Like, that's all it is. That's the whole thing.
That's a different comic. You think of Goofus and Gallon?
Oh, here. Shit, you're right.
Okay, I got it. I got today's Beetle Bailey.
When will he do his chores?
it's a guy who's like a general or something. He says, he's looking at his army schedule. He says, ugh, it looks like a really busy day. Oh, it's a Sunday, so this one's long. Sorry. And then he calls somebody on the phone. He goes, hey, hi, Major, how about some golf today? And then he goes, oh, okay. And then he calls somebody else. He goes, feel like hitting the little ball today, Captain? Which is a really fun way to describe golf.
I think I'm going to go out and hit the little ball.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, sorry. And then the next frame is him. He goes, are you sure you can't play lieutenants? These are three different people. He goes, okay. And then he's calling the phone again. He goes, dang, I'm going to keep trying until I get someone. And then the last frame is just him playing golf with Beetle Bailey. With the guys from Beetle Bailey. And he goes, this is going to be rough. It's just him not liking the guys, I guess. Also, I didn't know you could play golf in the army, but...
There's a lot of...
I forgot there's a dog in this.
I'm on the Wikipedia. There are a lot of characters here.
Yeah.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... There are like 12 main characters, and then there are as many supporting characters, and then there's also 12 retired characters. So I don't know. There's a lot going on in the Beetle Bailey verse.
I think my new thing of gaslighting people is going to be confusing Catch-22 and Beetle Bailey.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I just sent this. It seems like Beetle Bailey should be dishonorably discharged. Yeah, at best. He's threatening to basically not help his commanding officer.
He probably should be tried for treason.
I think he should
be executed. Yeah.
To be fair, the commanding officer should know better than to get stuck on a single branch growing out of a cliffside.
Yeah, it's unclear how that...
How did you get this job if you're getting stuck on a single branch growing out of a cliff?
Yeah, where are you deployed? Inside a Shel Silverstein book? Yeah.
Well, how are you defending our country here? Yeah. What is going on?
Here's another... We can't keep it, but here's another quick Beetle Bailey strip. This one's from Friday. This is by Greg and Mort Walker, so it took two people to write this strip. So the commanding officer, and he goes, saying to Beetle Bailey, you must be the laziest soldier in the entire army. And Beetle Bailey says, oh, I'm sure there's someone lazier. And then Beetle Bailey says, just as there's a sergeant who's a bigger loser than you. Devastating.
Damn.
Brutal. That's the strip.
And then he gets shot by friendly fire.
Right. That's when you order the code red.
Yeah.
Beetle Bailey gets killed by friendly fire.
Just gets beaten to death by his platoon members in his own bed.
In that one.
Yeah, no, they kill him and then they cover it up. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, a few good men, but it's about the death of Beetle Bailey. That would be the and it's Sergeant Snorkel instead of Jack Nicholson on the stand. That's
Beetle Bailey's body is on your plane every time you fly. Dead body of Beetle Bailey.
Shelby is again so proud of himself for inspiring a 10-minute diversion with one of his robot voice rejoinders.
Well, I think, Beetle Bailey would have been pretty good at this. I will say that the current record is not 60 hours. It is, 117 hours.
That's difficult. I feel like I could lie down for 2.5 days, especially because you said they're allowed bathroom breaks.
Well, that's
right?
The thing, right?
That's new. Yeah.
Yeah, she got started. This is in 2021. She was able to go to the bathroom after 8 hours. So you still have to hold it for 8 hours, but that's still pretty reasonable.
It's if you know you have to do that, you can make preparations.
The record, the record previous to this though, before the bathroom break was 52 hours continuously lying down. So that to me is
that's
the real
pretty impressive.
Record.
And also you're really sacrificing a lot because that enjoy your UTI after that. Holding it for 52 hours.
Well, the question is whether you get disqualified for going.
Can you just lie down and piss your pants?
And then really, once you've gone, it's it doesn't matter if you do it again. So you can just keep going.
There's no rules because I can't be covered in piss.
Yeah.
I guess.
They won't even be able to tell. They're not going to be he pissed himself three times. Just be he pissed himself at some point.
Right.
It's still there.
You don't need to know how many times.
It was once. There was a lot of piss. You get docked 1 hour for each time you piss.
Yeah. You made a mess. Just hook up a catheter. Hang on off the tree.
Yeah, can you have a catheter? Can you have a bedpan? We got to figure this stuff out. But as Patty said, I think it should be both shoulders have to be on the ground wrestling pin style rolls to count. I guess that's can you flip over probably, right? You just can't get up.
Yeah, are you allowed to roll around?
Can you snuggle? Can you get comfortable?
All I have, this guy's got one. He's got one arm behind his head.
He'd have nerve damage if he did that.
I assume you're allowed to kind of roll around. Yeah, he's got, looks like he's got his legs up.
With these rules, I think I could do 60 fairly easily. I don't think I could do 112.
Yeah.
Or whatever the record was. I think 60 was probably about my limit.
Yeah. The world's worst live stream. Just 60 hours of me rolling around. Check it out.
Especially if I could watch, watch something. Because that's like 60 hours. That's like, The Wire. Like
Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Just watch all of Criminal Minds.
I'm binge watching Breaking Bad right now. I think that's about 60 episodes. Like, just put that on.
Yeah, I think I skip my antidepressants. I can knock this thing out of the park. I'm just gonna lay it up.
Is it like doping to not take your antidepressants? Because I feel like I could probably do pretty good, but
yeah.
it might disqualify me.
Well, I was thinking. I was like, I feel like I've definitely. I mean, there's all the rules and all that. But it's like. I'm trying to think. I feel like there's definitely been a day where I haven't left bed. And so if you include when I got into bed the night before.
There's been a day in the past like week where I haven't left
bed. Yeah, yeah.
Like easily, no problem.
So if you add that together with like whatever time I got into bed the day before and whatever time I got out of bed the next day, that's like, we're hitting like maybe close to 40, something like that. I don't know.
We're sad. That's the takeaway from this segment. We're some sad people.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, congrats to this guy. What does he win? Do we know? Does he win
350 euros?
350 euros.
Easy, yeah. For money, easy. That's some easy money. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not a great hourly rate, you know.
Yeah,
for what you're doing.
Like again, I'm thinking about how like I do this regularly for free.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's yeah.
Yeah, that's how they convince you that it's a good wage. They're like, you're part of a family here laying down, actually.
Yeah, I mean, this is below federal minimum wage, assuming like a 1-to-1-ish, euro to dollar. So, it's like less than $6 an hour. Not great.
If you had to take off work for it, it's probably not worth it.
If you have a job, you shouldn't be able to win. You can't win World's Laziest Man and then have a job. You got to already have to be a layabout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a few good comments here. There's three comments to this Mirror article just before we go. Actually, there's 21, but let's see here. Top editor's pick. My husband would best that. So got his ass.
Got him.
Yeah, that's Andy Capp's wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
She put down her rolling pin to type that comment.
Yeah. Boris Johnson should have won this. There's a whole long thing there, but. Katie Price has spent more than that on her back. So going back to that, Jordan.
Incredibly British comments on
very
this.
Big slam there. heart attack soon. Not sure what that's about. But
they were just trying to get help. They were.
Yeah.
Heart attack soon, please.
Yeah. Just people mad about stuff in the comments. It happens over there too. So
sounds
congratulations,
like Donald J. Trump. Am I right?
There we go. That's right.
Congrats to this guy. Should we do plugs?
We should do plugs.
Let's plugs.
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Patreon.com/whatatimepod, as we've said. That's the best way to support the show. There's tons of bonus episodes. There's, one a week. There's the Roadhouse commentary track, Fate of the Furious commentary track. There's live stream. You get to watch the live streams when they happen. There's also an archive of live streams also. That's a thing that we have up there. It's just a video of a lime. There's also a live show video. You get to, if you sign up, you can be part of the wave of contributors who get us to eat, the Papa Bowls, which is cool. And also get Kath to get a tattoo, which as we establish is at $12.99 right before the Papa Bowls. No. we'll get back to you on that. That's the best way. Lots of stuff. It's really, you also get free shipping at whatatimepod@bigcartel.com. Lots of merch there and stuff like that. If you like the show, give us a review on iTunes. That seems like a thing that helps. If you're at the $10 level on the Patreon, you can join the Discord in the private channels and submit stories. Otherwise, the Discord is free, so check that out too. We are What A Time Pod on Twitter, What A Time Pod on Instagram, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. I am Patty Mo and all the stuff, and I don't think I have anything to plug.
I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We put up 2 free episodes and 2 Patreon-only episodes a month. Our most recent free one is that prestige travel one I was talking about. It's very fun. Listen to that. I'm Kath Barbadoro on social media. I post my stand-up dates there, which I do not have any right now. So if you happen to book stand-up comedy, please hire me. Thank you.
My plug is thank you for listening.
Aw.
How nice.
What a sweet plug.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey. All right. Here we go. Have you heard? I'm so tired.
I think you should be like, let me explain. Let me explain.
Let me explain. Stay on the line. Do not hang up.
Like that's like enough of a bit that's kind of funny. And then
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
If you say stay on the line, do not hang up.
In a panic. Like, let me explain. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah. Hey, have you heard of Anchor by Spotify? It's the easiest way to
It's the easiest way to modcast.
I have slept so little. Hey, have you heard about Anchor by Spotify? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. It has everything you need all in one place. Wait, let me explain.
Anchor, wait, do I explain
that? That's also you.
It's also you.
Oh, right. God damn it. Okay. So what happens when you try to get a safety?
This whole thing is the ad.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like you could really stretch out. You'd be like, hang on. Let me explain. Hang on.
Now I'm getting fucking notes. Let's record this shit.
I'm just saying that's a free like 4 seconds. You know what
Once
I mean?
Once more with feeling.